15, let's pray before we look at the Word of God. Our Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and teaching of your Word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand the lesson, the message that you have for us this morning. Speak to us through the workings of your Holy Spirit in that way that only you can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And last Sunday's message, if you were here, you remember that I preached on the rich man in hell. And we saw that in hell he had sight, he had memory, and he prayed. And I feel led to continue preaching on this same subject this morning. Now, did you know that the Lord had more to say about hell than he did about heaven? And yet, it's safe to say that you could attend some churches for decades and you would never hear a sermon on hell. As I said last week, the only time that many folks hear the word hell is when someone uses it as a curse word. But hell is not a curse word. Hell is a real place, just like heaven is a real place. And in this particular story of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus is not telling a parable here. He never says this is a parable. He begins the story in verses 19 and 20 by saying, "There was a certain rich man, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus." He never says it's a parable. This is a true story. And we know it's not a parable because of the fact that Jesus mentions someone by name. He doesn't use names in his parables. Usually, this one he mentions by name. This is a real story. And so here in Luke chapter 16, the Lord tells us about the rich man who went to hell. Not because he was a rich man, but because he rejected salvation. And then it tells us about the beggar named Lazarus who went to heaven, not because he was a beggar, but because he did accept the Lord's salvation. Now in the passage, the Bible tells us that that beggar named Lazarus went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And let me review that with you for those who were not here last week. Abraham's bosom, or what is also referred to as paradise in the Bible, was where the souls of all the righteous, all the believers, went before the cross. Before the cross. But after the cross, the perfect sacrifice for sin has been made by Jesus on the cross, since the cross, when the saints of God die, they don't go to paradise. They go directly to heaven to be with the Lord. Paul teaches us that in 2 Corinthians 5:8, when he says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. See, but before the Lord paid the price for our sins, believers went to this almost like a holding area that is called paradise or Abraham's bosom. But sinners, unbelievers, went to another holding place, a place of torment called hell, that one day will eventually end up in the eternal lake of fire. But sinners go to hell. Sinners, unbelievers in Christ, go to hell. And to this very day, sinners who die without Christ go to hell. But something that people don't know about hell is that the biggest prayer meeting that has ever taken place will take place in hell. Will take place in hell. Now, last week, we looked at the prayer of the rich man. And I really would like us to do that again. Now, I had two parts to this message. I'm only going to preach one this morning. The first part was just pointing out to you that the rich man, when he first prayed, he prayed for himself. In verse 24, if you've got your Bible open to Luke 16, in verse 24, it says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." He prayed for himself, but unfortunately, he prayed too late. He prayed for himself, but once you're in hell, it is then too late. But what I want to focus on this morning is the fact that once he realized that his condition and his situation was hopeless, he then began to pray for others. He prayed for others. Look at verses 27 and 28 of this chapter. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is, send the beggar Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, his second request was for his five brothers. He did not want them to come to that dreadful place. The rich man in hell cared for his family. And to be honest, this loving care that we see in hell is something that we need in the church today, right? But it's surprising how little concern we find in the church today. Many Christians have very little concern even for the spiritual welfare of their own family. They just don't care. We have people in our society today, think about this, who just don't care if their children go to church or not. They don't care if they learn about heaven or hell. They just don't care. It's amazing, you know. Children will, you know, give some excuse to keep from going to school during the week, and the parents, knowing that they're not really sick, will literally pull them out of bed and push them out the front door to get on the bus to get to school because they know the value of a good education. But then these same parents, when it comes to attending Sunday school and church to learn about the Lord Jesus and how they can have eternal life in him, they just don't care, you know. All the child has to say is, I don't want to go to church today. And those crazy parents will say, okay, I'm not going to be one of those parents who force you to go. I'm going to let you grow up and then you can decide for yourself. Well, I wonder, why don't those same parents make those same decisions when a child doesn't want to brush his teeth or take a bath? That is, when parents tell children to brush their teeth or take a bath and the child says that they don't want to, why don't those parents just say, well, I don't want to be the kind of parent who forces you to do anything, so I'm going to let you wait until you grow up and decide whether you want to take a bath and brush your teeth. See? The reason God gave children parents is because little children, as cute as they are, don't know enough. They don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. They need parents to guide them and direct them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's a parent's responsibility. It's our job to train our children. You know, many of us adults can remember that when we were children, we, you know, sometimes would beg our parents to let us stay home from church and maybe watch some TV show that we wanted or something. But our parents loved us enough that all they had to do was give us that look. And we'd know that we were going to church whether we liked it or not. And you know what? It didn't hurt any of us. Now some of us are singing in the choir, some are ushering, some are Sunday school teachers, some are deacons, and some are preachers. See, Satan has messed up the minds of a lot of parents today, and Satan has messed up the minds of many people in our society in general. And that's why people need to be told that hell is real, that hell is hot, and that hell is forever. It's forever. And that's why the rich man in hell, once he realized there was no hope for himself, his thoughts turned to his family. Again, verse 27, it says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. And by the way, look who's the beggar now. Look who's the beggar now. And since God is a God of justice, God sends people to hell. The issue is this. The man was concerned about his family, but he prayed too late for himself, and as a result, ended up in hell, and now he's very concerned about not wanting any of his family to come to that awful place, to that awful place. And I can guarantee you this, everybody in hell would do anything, they would give anything to come back and warn their families and warn their friends about that dreadful place. There are fathers and mothers today in hell who would do anything just to be able to come back and talk with their children and warn them. There are false preachers and teachers in hell today who would do anything to come back and preach one last time to their congregation and warn them about the truth of heaven and hell. I look at this story in Luke 16 and I think, what a shame. What a shame that this guy didn't have that same desire to tell his family about Jesus while he was still on the earth. And I want you to notice that Abraham gives this man an astonishing reply to his prayer. Look at verse 29. He says, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. That is, let them look to the word of God that they already have. But the rich man insists that that's not enough. If a dead man could go back and talk to his brothers, then they would turn from their sins. Then they would repent. Look at verse 30. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. His reasoning was that if they saw a man from the grave warning them, that they would turn from their sins, that they would repent. Now, imagine for a moment that I'm not a Christian, and somebody knocks on my door one evening. And when I open the door, I'm shocked to see an old man whose funeral I attended a few weeks earlier there standing at my door. He says, I've come to talk to you about Jesus. Can I come in? And after my initial shock, I might say, come in. And the man begins to say, I've just come back from heaven to warn you that there is a hell and that your older brother is there right now. And he asked me to come and warn you not to come to that place. So if you will admit you're a sinner and turn from your sins, trust Christ as your Savior, you can be forgiven today. So how about it? Would you like to bow your head right now and receive Christ? Now, I don't mind telling you this, that if I had attended somebody's calling hours, and then attended their funeral, and then found them a couple of weeks later standing at my front door. Can I be honest with you? It would scare the poopy doopies out of me, for lack of a better term. It would scare me to death. And I don't know if I would turn to Christ at that point or not. But I know this, Abraham certainly didn't think that they would. Look at verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And you know, we have proof of that. After the Lord came back to life 3 days later and walked among the living, walked among people who saw him crucified, who saw him died, there were still people who scoffed and rejected him. You see, I'm sharing the word of God with you today, and I'm proclaiming that Jesus is alive. And if that's not enough for you to want to miss hell, then you wouldn't repent even if a corpse came to your door. And you know, there's also in this this passage a powerful message for all of us who are Christians. The one thing that stands out in this passage to me is the concern that the rich man had for his brother. People in hell have a constant, chronic concern for lost people who are still alive and are headed for hell. And that's something that's in hell that we need in our church. A fervent, compassionate concern for the lost people around us who are heading for hell. That's the personal application of this message to us as a church and to us as individual Christians. Now, let's for a moment play what if. What if God offered to let you spend 30 seconds in heaven or 30 seconds in hell? Which would you choose? Now, this is not forever. It's just a 30-second visit. Which location would make you a stronger, a more mature follower of Christ? I mean, seeing the glory and majesty of heaven would probably make you a stronger Christian, but would it give you a greater burden for lost people? If God gave me the option of letting every member in our church spend 30 seconds in hell or 30 seconds in heaven, I would have to say I would ask God to let all of us just spend 30 seconds in hell. Now, of course, those of us who know the Lord, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. But I think that 30 seconds in hell would change us for the rest of our lives. If we could see the agony and hear the voices of the lost praying for themselves and praying for their loved ones, we would come back and be the most evangelistic Christians on earth. And people in hell are concerned about lost people who are headed for hell, and that's something we need. Years ago, I was shopping at Spags. Anybody remember Spags? Going to Spags? That was a great place to go shopping up in, was it Shrewsbury? Or right on the Worcester-Shrewsbury line. But we were shopping in Spags one time, and over the loudspeaker system, it said this. It said, "Attention employees and customers, we have a code Adam. There is a 3-year-old boy with dark blonde hair wearing a light blue shirt who has disappeared. Please help us look for him." And the entire store went on alert. And of course, you know, everyone was kind of afraid that somebody had abducted him. And there was this sense of urgency as everybody forgot about shopping and started searching. And of course, the police were called and they were stationed at every door so nobody could get out. And everybody began to search. And for the next few minutes, I mean, both the shoppers and the employees fanned out across the store looking in every good hiding place. And then after about 10 minutes, the announcement was made, "Cancel code Adam, the little boy has been found." And then something amazing happened. There were cheers and applause that could be heard coming from every corner of the store, and there were smiles everywhere. And we learn from one of the employees that the little boy had just crawled behind one of the large displays and fallen asleep. Well, as I returned to the car, I thought this. I thought, wouldn't it be great if Christians had that same sense of urgency and unity to go out into the community and search out those lost boys and girls and men and women who are on their way to hell and tell them about Christ. You see, hell is real, and hell is hot, and hell is everlasting. The rich man, he was begging for God to save him from that dreadful place, but he prayed too late. And so then his attention turned to his family, and he prayed for them. And thankfully, if you are not a Christian, it is not too late for you. Today, right now, you can get off the path that leads to hell and get on the path that leads to heaven by calling out to Christ in prayer and asking him to forgive you, to cleanse you, to give you eternal life, and to be your Savior. And I'll tell you right now, that is your greatest need, your greatest need. And I beg you and I plead with you, don't wait too late like the rich man. And by the way, in case you don't realize it, even tomorrow could be too late. We got no promise that we're going to be around to see tomorrow. Tomorrow could be too late. And so you need to take care of this matter today. Today. You need to turn to Christ in faith. Now, if I can help you with that, I'd count it a great privilege and honor. The end of the service, I'll be downstairs, you know, with my cup of coffee, or I'll be at the front door shaking some hands. But I would count it a privilege to take you personally and individually to this blessed old book and show you how you can know that Christ is in your heart, how you can know your sins are forgiven, how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. So don't leave here without knowing. You come and see me, and we'll talk about it individually, personally, and help you get this matter settled in your heart. But in case you didn't notice it, most of my message this morning has been geared towards Christians. Towards Christians. And my question is this. We've seen the burden that this rich man had for lost people who are headed for hell. But I wonder, how about you and I? When was the last time you spoke to your lost family members about their need of Christ? When was the last time you spoke to your lost friends about their need of Christ? When was the last time you spoke to your lost neighbors about their need of Christ? When was the last time you spoke to your lost coworkers about their need of Christ? And young people, when was the last time you spoke to your lost classmates about their need for Christ? You see, hell is real, but so is heaven. Hell is eternal, but so is heaven. But the big difference is this. Hell is hot, and heaven is sweet. And you, as a Christian, have the message that can change a person's eternal destiny. When was the last time you told someone that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? When was the last time? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to take what we've seen in this passage of Scripture, apply it to ourselves. Help us to be concerned about lost people. Help us to tell them about Christ so that they can get off that path that leads to hell and get on the path that leads to heaven. And Lord, my prayer is that if there's anybody in this room who doesn't know Christ as their Savior and Lord, that today they'd settle this matter, that they'd open their heart and invite him in to wash their sins away and to give them eternal life and a home in heaven. Lord,